Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. We are packed. It is a Wednesday. This is the Herd, wherever you may be. However you may be listening, we are live on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor's in today. We are packed today. Now we're getting all sorts of stuff. There's no Zeke for the Cowboys, Joy.
I don't know. I still am holding on faith that they get it done before week one, but I might be on an island with that one.
Well, it's an interesting place to start today. So there's no new news on Zeke. Zach Martin, offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, came out yesterday. And here's what he said in regards to the holdout. Zach Martin talking about the Cowboys.
Listen, we're preparing for the season. And, we're going to have to play with what we got. And what we got is a damn good back in Tony Pollard. So, obviously – you'd want him out here, but we're preparing to get ready for week one.
Okay, that sounds desperate. Dallas is not desperate. Tony Pollard, have you watched him play? Pretty good. 5.6 yards a carry. That would lead the NFL. Well, it's only preseason. Yeah, that's right. It's only preseason for Dallas's O-line as well. Is everybody forgetting that Dallas's O-line is healthier now than last year? That Dak is now in his fourth year, not his third year? That Amari Cooper will play all 16 games? And that Michael Gallup, who was a rookie wide receiver last year, has had a really good preseason in camp. That everything around the Cowboy running back position is significantly better this year. The coordinator, we think, will be better. The quarterback is older and better. Amari, an entire offseason, is better. Michael Gallup, better. Do you need $18 million a year at running back? I'm not denying Zeke's better than Tony Pollard. But running back is weird in the NFL. Okay, let me give you a couple of examples. Seattle a couple years ago went and drafted a guy in the seventh round named Chris Carson. He could not win the starting job at Oklahoma State. He split time with a freshman his last year there. Following year, Seattle spent a first round pick on a running back, Rashad Penny. He can't beat out Chris Carson. Chris Carson's better than Rashad Penny. Well, that's just one example. Not really. How about Denver, Philip Lindsay? Undrafted. They gave him a tryout because he was a local kid. He was undrafted from a non-football power. He's been a home run. Then they went out and got third rounder from Oregon, Royce Freeman. Philip Lindsay's better. Okay, so you got a couple examples. Now let's go to the Chargers. Austin Eckler. Melvin Gordon. Pay him a lot. First round pick. Austin Eckler went to something called Western State. It's in Colorado. I'm not sure if it's a university or a way station. We couldn't figure it out on Wikipedia. By the way, Justin Jackson's a seventh-round pick. He also averages almost 4 yards a carry. Running back is different. Matt Breida at the 49ers, Georgia Southern. David Johnson for Arizona walked into this league and was a star. Northern Iowa, later rounds. Tariq Cohen for the Bears. Did you watch him in college on Saturdays at NCANT? Is that a phone company or a football program? Who knows? Running back is instinct. It wouldn't be a shot. Well, Tony Pollard didn't start at Memphis. Chris Carson didn't get all the carries at Oklahoma State and went in later rounds. Memphis puts a lot of guys in the NFL. Running back is different. Running backs are very dependent in most cases on every running back was good for Mike Shanahan. Denver for years, irrelevant who it was. If you were behind Mike Shanahan's zone blocking, you rush for 1,000 yards. This Cowboy line has created three different 1,000-yard rushers. Dak will be better this year. Amari Cooper for a full year. Jason Witten helps a tight end. Michael Gallup in his second year. The offensive line is healthier. Upgrades at coordinator. By the way, the best Green Bay running back in terms of talent in the last several years, half a decade, is Aaron Jones. Yeah, I'm sure you watched them a lot at UTEP. He went in the fifth round. This is not like a lot of positions in this league. You know, quarterbacks overwhelmingly come from the first round, the great ones. The Aaron Rodgers, you know, you can give me Brady, but most of the great ones come in the first round. The Elways, the Marinos. Running back is all over the board, undrafted. Western Colorado, a directional school in Iowa or Texas. I'm not saying Tony Pollard's amazing, and I don't think you want to give him the ball 275 times this year. I'm not saying he's Le'Veon Bell. I'm not saying he's Zeke. But I'm saying the Cowboys have more leverage than everybody is insinuating here. Because he's going to make $600,000 this year. That's what Tony Pollard makes. You're paying Zeke $16. I can re-sign Byron Jones if that's all I'm paying my running back. And I can re-sign Van Der Esch and Amari Cooper and give Dak 33 and not go sleepless at night. That's all I'm saying. Running back is different. And everybody for the Cowboys is better around the running back position than they were a year ago. All right, let me go to this. There is, I've been listening to a lot of, talk show hosts and TV personalities. I consider myself a journalist, but let's not get into that. Anyway, I've been listening to a lot of this over the last, I would say, month or two, and there is some speculation. This is the common theme on Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. You know, what happens when they go into a two-game losing streak and Aaron wants to do what he wants to do and Matt LaFleur has his system? This shit feels a little problematic. I do not believe that is the case. In fact, I think the opposite is true. Aaron Rodgers yesterday talked about his new coach and the new system.
He's in every meeting. He leads every install. We spend time one-on-one as well, talking about things. There's been a lot of great discussions, a lot of creativity on both sides. I think he's done some really, really smart things. He's not come in and said, hey, the pass scheme was terrible. This is what we're going to run. It's been a good blending of some of the things that we're really good at and then some of the great schemes that he's bringing to us from the places that he's been.
I am going to now have a prediction that will be the opposite of everything I have heard in the media over the last month or two since Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers got together. Are you ready for it? Twitter may not like this. I think Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur are going to have the best relationship in that division, and I'll explain why. Let's go to Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy in Chicago. Did you watch Matt Nagy's frustration when Mitch Trubisky could not make pedestrian throws in that playoff game? Here's something I know about football. When you are a brilliant offensive mind, and Matt Nagy qualifies for that, dude is all it. You get really frustrated when pedestrian quarterbacks can't fulfill the genius that you draw up on the whiteboard. Okay, Vic Fangio is gone in Chicago. A great defensive coordinator. Translation, Bears going to have to score some points this year. And Matt Nagy has scored points as a coordinator and a coach his entire career. What happens when they lose 27-23 a lot? Okay, I don't think Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky, by the end of the year, is going to be as ideal as everybody thinks. Let's go to Mike Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. Oh, they get along fine. Really? Kirk Cousins is 5-13 in primetime TV games. He has a brand now. He clenches his teeth in big games. Mike Zimmer coached for 35 years before Mike Zimmer was given a head coaching job in the NFL. He's in his 60s. He doesn't have a lot of years left. This is his big job. He is a great coach. He has a great defense. They have a star running back in Delvin Cook. They have two star receivers and a way above average tight end. Let me ask you, when Kirk Cousins chokes like a cat on a hairball in another primetime TV game, and you're in week 7, and you're already 2 back of Green Bay and 1 back of Chicago, you think Mike Zimmer is going to come in, Kirk Cousins, high five, we'll get him next time, Tiger? I think that relationship is walking on eggshells. Okay, let's go to Matt Stafford and Matt Patricia. Let me ask you, how many big wins has Matt Stafford had in his career? Let's start with 0 and work backwards. Because Matt Patricia watched Tom Brady win seemingly every big game and make every big play in every big moment. That's his standard. Think he's going to get tired of Matt Stafford? By the way, Matt Patricia is not getting a second head coaching job because he is a disciple of Belichick, meaning if he fails in Detroit, he will fairly or unfairly be labeled as another Belichick coordinator who can't really get it done. This is his chance. He's a smart, successful 40-year-old guy. I've known guys like that. This is his opportunity. He's going to have no patience on Matt Stafford putting up big numbers and can't make the play late in the game. Okay, Nagy and Trubisky, Zimmer and Kirk Cousins, Stafford and Matt Patricia, I don't see those as potentially great relationships for very long. Now let's go to Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. If Matt LaFleur came from Tennessee, okay, that's Marcus Mariota. If you woke up every morning and drove to the facility with Marcus Mariota for a year, and then a year later you wake up and you drive to the facility with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, it is Christmas every day at 5 in the morning in Wisconsin. I think Matt LaFleur is going to totally appreciate Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers, if Matt LaFleur is a little over his head or skis in a couple of games this year, Aaron has the ability to save the staff. I think this relationship is going to be fine. It's the other three relationships in that division I'm worried about. Aaron and Matt, I'll predict it now, they'll win the division. It won't be a perfect relationship. Aaron's demanding. Aaron's smart and demanding. Smart and demanding people are hard to work for. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy a fruitful relationship, but it's never easy. It's not easy coaching Kobe Bryant. It's not easy coaching Michael Jordan or LeBron. That doesn't mean it can't be fruitful, but it's not easy. It's just not. I mean, successful. Steve Jobs, guys worked with him for 15 years. There were no easy weeks with Steve Jobs. Bill Gates, Elon Musk. You know, that's the way it is. But I'll go the opposite. Aaron and Matt will have a better relationship and appreciate each other more and get frustrated with each other less than all the other quarterbacks and coaching relationships in the NFC North. I believe some of the kids call that a hot take. What do you make of it, Joy?
I mean, I think you're probably right. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is by far the best quarterback in that division. So
by far.
Makes it a lot easier to enjoy your job and have a good relationship when you're coaching an all-time talent.
By the way, I think Stafford's a huge talent. That's part of the frustration. I think Stafford's a mega talent. He's got a little Cam Newton. Like, there are so many things, so many boxes checked.
I mean, I would honestly put Cam Newton light years ahead of Stafford.
And I think their talent is, Matt Stafford's one of the most talented quarterback arms in the league. So that's another thing where Aaron Rodgers has talent, but I got a lot of Super Bowl. I got a lot of playoff wins.
How to win, and he's clutch.
Matt Stafford, I'm getting a lot of fourth places. So I think the Matt Patricia, Matt Stafford thing could get really ugly by week 12 if you're in fourth place. And Stafford's not delivering in big spots.
Yeah, the only way I see the Aaron Rodgers relationship, LaFleur relationship going sour is if it's a complete and utter disaster. Yeah. Like, if they have any level of winning, it's going to be a success.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Fun day. This is a really fun time of the year. I love working late in August. I got all my information now outside of a Zeke and a Melvin Gordon holdout, who's healthy, who's not, what rookies look good, what don't. I'll readdress my top two takes of the day. Running back is a strange position in the NFL. Guys who are not even super productive in college often pop in the NFL based on the blocking schemes of the coaching staff in the NFL, the offensive line prowess in the NFL. Tony Pollard, I think, is going to have a nice year. Dak's better, Michael Gallup's better, Jason Witten's back, Amari Cooper a full year, and the O-line is healthy. Everything around running back for the Cowboys should be better, and their coordinator will be better. I don't think Zeke has as much leverage, and he is great, as he thinks. Tony Pollard can win games in this league with a supporting cast that's better around him in every position. My other takeaway is I think Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur will get along great. He and Mike McCarthy got along great forever. That was a very nice relationship for a long time. Let's not make it into 10 years of gravel road. It was a nice, smooth drive on the Autobahn until the end. Here's my other take today, and I want to talk about this for a couple of minutes. Antonio Brown and Big Ben. Everybody's taking sides on this. First of all, Hard Knocks has been a big disappointment. Only thing saving it is John Gruden is a hell of an actor. At this point, I'm not sure he can coach, but he is a great actor. And Antonio Brown is being made to look good. Obviously, the Raiders have some say in the content. You don't want to make him look bad. You want Antonio Brown to feel good about himself. And you can take sides on this. I've said AB is too high maintenance for me, not interested. But I also think Big Ben, stop trying to win the moment. This is why I criticize Baker Mayfield. Quarterback sometimes, just eat it. Just eat it. You're going to have a young receiver. He's a little cocky and crazy. Eat it. You're the quarterback. That's why we pay you so much money. Sometimes quarterbacks don't win the moment. That's my knock on Baker. He's always got to win the argument and win the moment and win the commentary and win the... Stop it. Quarterbacks are paid not to win the moment. Let the superstar receiver win the argument. Let the superstar receiver win the offseason. You're the quarterback. So stop talking about him. Big Ben said the other day, it ruined a friendship. AB, I wasn't perfect. Stop talking about it. AB came out and said we were never friends. That's now since been deleted on Twitter. Here's all I come back to on this. The greatest revenge. Have you ever heard this story or this term? The greatest revenge is living well. So it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what AB thinks. Ben thinks. Joy thinks. The media thinks. It doesn't matter. Because when there's divorces and breakups in sports, here's the only true barometer of who wins it. Who wins after the divorce? Who won Westbrook KD? KD. He won titles. LeBron Kyrie. Kyrie couldn't get along with anybody in Boston. LeBron gets the finals. Dez and the Cowboys. Who won that divorce? Cowboys. Made the playoffs. Won a playoff game. Dez still unemployed. Eagles and Chip Kelly. Who won that? Eagles. They got to a Super Bowl. Khalil Mack and the Raiders. Khalil got to the playoffs. Raiders got to fourth place. Who won that? Khalil Mack. Look around. Kawhi and the Spurs. Kawhi was MVP of the finals. Spurs, great organization. Exit stage right, first round of the playoffs. I think first round, first or second, I forget. Is it first? Yeah. Every one of these breakups are not determined by sports talk show hosts. They're not determined by the media or even the players in the moment themselves. The winner, the greatest revenge is living well, is who wins. And then years later, you look back and go, God, Dez, he was really flaky. Man, Kyrie Irving, talk about difficult. Westbrook, nobody can play with him. Chip Kelly, that college thing just didn't work. By the way, it did work. 10-6, 10-6. Live well. Win a lot. That will determine Big Ben, AB, who wins. And I think you know what side I'm on. I think Pittsburgh is going to win their division, get home games, and end up minimum in the AFC Championship.
What's up, everybody? How you doing? This is John Middlecoff. That's me. Three and Out. That's my podcast. Brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network. Coming up on this week's show, we dive into every angle of Andrew Luck. Why now? How injured was he? How good are the Colts moving forward? Chris Ballard, what's his next move? The ripple effect for the rest of the NFL. A lot to digest. We talk about it all. Three and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
So, listen, I want to address something, first of all. People did not like the Andrew Luck booing, but I want everybody to think about something for a second. Obviously, it's not the way we would hope he would be treated. But there is something to be said. If you leave a company and the company is pissed, it's because you mattered. If you leave a relationship and you break her heart because she was in love, sometimes people are booing people, and other times they're booing situations that include people. I want you to think about this. So when Andrew Luck walks off the field, Indianapolis fans are like, we're going to go from this to Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett could be offended. Andrew Luck, they loved you because you matter. Eli Manning, think about this for a second before you have an opinion. What quarterback has blown us away in the preseason? Daniel Jones. We ripped the Giants when they picked him. He's been really good. Daniel Jones has looked really good. Every time they put him in, he looks really good. In fact, don't tell anybody. He looks better than the old guy that we've had like four straight losing seasons. If Eli Manning, it would have been announced, was retiring walking out that field with the two Super Bowls, with his evaporating play, with what we've seen with Daniel Jones, you know what the relationship would have been? The crowd reaction would have been? What? All right. We love you, Eli. What's the Ariana Grande song? Thank you. Next. What's the song?
That's it. Yes.
Okay. Peyton Manning's one of the three greatest quarterbacks I've seen in my life. Three or four. Indianapolis got over Peyton Manning really quickly. Why? Suck for luck campaign. Because all we talked about for a year was, have you seen this kid at Stanford? Listen, the bottom line here, Eli Manning has won more than Andrew Luck. And if it was announced that he was leaving at the same time at the end of a fourth quarter of a preseason game with what we've seen with Daniel Jones, I think there would have been people in that stadium going, oh, Eli, that is just terrible news. Anyway, woo, yeah, blah, blah. This is a relationship. Colt fans are giving Andrew a compliment. We're screwed. We don't have anybody close to you. You're amazing. They weren't just booing Luck. They're booing the situation. Indianapolis got over Peyton Manning in about 5 minutes because of Andrew Luck. And New York's going to get over Eli in those two rings, and he's a puppy dog and everybody loves him, in about half a minute because of Daniel Jones. When people are mad you leave a company, it's a compliment. You matter. Not every employee does. Not every quarterback does. But Jacoby Brissett's good, but Luck is great. All right, with that, let's bring in a man who played in the NFL for nine NFL seasons, most notably, of course, the Green Bay Packers, where he was not only an asset to the organization and beloved and cheered often, also a good friend of Aaron Rodgers, and sometimes receivers and Aaron's don't click, but you and Aaron are tight then, you're tight now, it's good to have you. By the way, let's go back to your relationship. Let's start it with there, because I think Aaron and Matt LaFleur are going to work fine. I think they're going to be really, really good together. I think Matt's going to appreciate off Marcus Mariota how gifted Aaron is, and I think Aaron's going to appreciate the youth and the uniqueness and the ideas and the progressive nature of a young coach. I think they'll be great. Matt Nagy and Trubisky, that ain't going to work forever. But let's start with you and Aaron Rodgers. When did you click and why?
We clicked my rookie year, and the reason why I believe we clicked it was authentic. Like, I'm a jokester, so just because Aaron Rodgers is a star quarterback, hey. You get the joke, too. The joke is on you, too. And I always came off like that, and it always was authentic. I never was trying to disrespect nobody, right. Never came off like that. And I think when I started doing that and I let him know, like, you're just another guy. You're one of the guys, too. You're not up here. We're down here. You're one of the guys. And I think he kind of embraced me in that role, and then we just started getting closer and closer, started hanging out off the field and all that, and our relationship grew, and, you know, now we're here now.
But by the way, you don't have to get along with people. I mean, Calvin Johnson was a very quiet person.
Yeah.
I don't think Calvin Johnson would always click if you were a Baker Mayfield or a Cam Newton or a big personality. Yeah. Calvin's a quiet guy, so he may click with certain people. Tom Brady's rare. He seems to get along with everybody, from Randy Moss to Wes Welker to Julian Edelman. AB and Big Ben don't ever appear like they were great friends.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to be, or am I wrong? Do receivers and quarterbacks have to be buds?
Not off the field, no. I mean, on the field, I mean, you can separate it. You can get on the field and let's go to work. Let's win some ball games. I'm one of the best at my position. You're one of the best at yours. Let's go out here. Let's dominate. Off the field, yeah, we don't got to hang out. Our families got to hang out. We don't got to be best buds. But when we get on the field, hey, let's be on the same page. Let's go to work and let's put a good product out there.
AB, I saw you at a Raiders practice.
Yeah.
How are you and AB? Tell me the story.
Me and AB are close. I mean, he's a good friend of mine. You know, just sitting there talking to him at Raiders camp. He's happy. They're happy that he's there. The buzz around there, I mean, you talk to Mark Davis, you talk to a lot of those guys who have sat down with him. They love him. They love him. They say he's an unbelievable team guy. They all embrace him. They love him. And you can tell that AB understands and believes in his heart that it's genuine. When it comes to the owners, when it comes to coach, when it comes to Derek Carr, he believes it's genuine, and he respects those guys.
He didn't in Pittsburgh.
Not with the quarterback.
Could I say this? He wasn't as valuable in Pittsburgh as he will be in Oakland. He will be more important in Oakland. Maybe he wants – I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, Big Ben, James Washington, that organization wins every time a receiver leaves.
They have weapons, but to lose a player like that, I know it's easy to say that they're going to be fine now, but we got to wait till the season unfolds because that is a big weapon that you're losing. I'm a fan of Juju. I think Juju's going to have a phenomenal year, but I think when teams start coming in there trying to take you, it's going to get harder. I think he will continue to have success, but losing a guy like that, it's going to be tough to say the offense is just going to take off.
What about the helmet thing? I mean, I get everybody wants a helmet. Tom Brady's helmet this year weighs a pound more than last year.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt.
Yes.
But Tom's not holding out of camp.
No. No, and you're exactly right. And I feel the same way. Listen, we all, every time you go to a different team or every time you start, I want my helmet. I've broken that helmet in. I've had that helmet my whole career.
I get it.
I want my helmet. But at the end of the day, it's not just you that has to change your helmet. Every receiver in the National Football League has to put on a helmet similar to yours. So it's not just you. Do I understand he wants his helmet, but at the end of the day, okay, you can't have it. We got to go out there and play and find us a helmet that we can play in.
All right. So that's a fair criticism. Yes. He got a little over dramatic on the helmet.
Yeah.
It's a reality of equipment. I want to ask you, I'm going to end it today with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. So I want to go into the Andrew Luck stuff. Listen, I get it. All you do with fans is, as an organization, we demand that you pay us a bunch of money, and then we encourage you to drink, and then we put you amongst other alpha males, and in a crowd, guys tend to act in football games goofier and more aggressively than they do in real life.
Yeah.
It's like Twitter. Yeah. Give somebody some anonymity, they're all tough guys. If some guy walked up to you that banged on you on Twitter, he'd be shaking and, can I have an autograph? Yeah. Isn't some of this Luck thing is, Luck's great.
Yes.
They pay a lot of money. They're 4 Bud Lights in. That nobody in Indy hates Andrew Luck. In fact, I would argue most great quarterbacks are polarizing. Yeah. Brady, you love him or hate him. He's married to a supermodel. You know, I mean, there's a hate factor with Tom. There's about a handful of great quarterbacks. Eli Manning's hard to hate. Andrew Luck's hard to hate. Russell Wilson's hard to hate. They're not booing Andrew. They're booing the situation.
I agree and I disagree because at the same time, you've seen this guy battle through injury after injury after injury, come back, play at a high level, give you everything he has. And for him to say, I'm stepping away from the game, for that to be your first reaction to boo him, I think that's disrespectful. I think your first reaction should have been to clap. And then maybe when you sat down, like, dang, man, you know what I mean? You probably could have thought about something. But right then and there, for him to walk off the field, all that he's been through, all that he's battling, you don't know what he's battling mentally. And everything that he's given you as a fan base, your star quarterback walking off the field, you boo him his last game in Indy just because he decided to walk away and choose his life over the game of football.
Now, again, I think that sounds great. But I said this yesterday, or the day before. If you called off a wedding a week before, and by the way, you were right, it wasn't going to work. You were at each other's throats constantly. You didn't think it was fair to have children with a woman and then know you were going to leave the relationship. You were right to get out. But the first day and hour you announced it, the father-in-law, he wants a piece of you because you hurt his little girl. There is something about us. I mean, you're a smart guy. I never see you with a temper. But if you get a bad call in a football game and there's a guy holding your arm and there's no PI call, you're not in the best sorts, right?
You're not, but I just think the situation was different. Like, everybody seen it on their phone. All right, so everybody had a chance to kind of digest this thing. I mean, it was Daner announced first quarter of the game, so he was on the sideline the whole time. So everybody seen it. Everybody knew what was going on. So I just believe in that point in time right there, everybody in the stadium knew. Everybody on TV knew. Like, when he walks off the field, they should have put him on the Jumbotron. They should have said, thank you, Andrew. Everybody should have stood up clapping just because of what he'd done for that organization, what he's given that organization, all the injuries that he's fought through. I feel like the organization should have put up on that Jumbo, thank you. Even if it was during the game, everybody knew, thank you, Andrew. And everybody right there should have stood up and clapped. You do not boo the quarterback that has sacrificed so much and given Indy fans so much to cheer for over the years. You do not boo him off the field.
Let me go back to Aaron Rodgers, who you have a strong relationship with. Now, people will say, of course, James is going to support him here. I do think Aaron's fine. I said this earlier. It doesn't matter if it's Beyonce. It doesn't matter if it's Elvis Presley. You can go back in time. The really gifted people. I don't think Tom Brady's really gifted. I think he's talented and a grinder. Mm-hmm. I don't think Derek Jeter is gifted. I think A-Rod's gifted. I think Derek's talented and a grinder. Aaron's in a different classification. He's in the John Elway. No, I mean, there's about six of these guys. You're like, oh, they're different. Yeah. Brett Favre's in this. Yeah. Like, they're just different. When in music, in entertainment, in acting, you know, there's Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah. When you're talented, not just grind. I'm a grinder.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a bad voice. I still slur. You know, I'm a mess. but when you're talented, you are more difficult. Because since sixth grade, things have come easier.
Yeah.
And so I do think Aaron's difficult, but I'm okay with Aaron's difficult. But I think this thing's going to work.
Yes.
I do. I just kind of feel like Aaron needed a young guy in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, McCarthy looked like a Milwaukee cop. Aaron looks like a model from L.A. Even their body chemistry, yeah. They were like different cats. So take me to what you think the relationship is going to look like.
Well, when I went out there for training camp, I was talking to him about the relationship, and he was basically saying that, listen, everybody's blowing this thing up too much. Like, me and Coach LaFleur have a great relationship. We meet 2-3 times a week. We talk. The communication is great. He was talking to me about the offensive system, loves the movement. It's constant movement. So I know everybody wants to get on, oh, man, the audible is this. He was telling – there is not even going to be a lot of time to audible in this offense. We're doing a lot of movement.
So pre-snap.
Pre-snap. So we're going to get a lot of good looks from the defense that we want. It's going to be a lot of easier throws. So it's not like when we play with Coach Mike, we just line up and, okay, I'll get you in the right play. It's a lot of movement. So the audible situation is not even going to be that big of a situation unless it gets into 2-minute situation or something like that. But I think the main thing that I took from it is he respects Coach LaFleur. He looks, he knows Coach LaFleur, knows what he's talking about offense, knows what he's talking about quarterbacks, even though that Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback that he's ever had. But he respects him, and he's basically embraced the whole role of new offense, and this is how it's going to go. So I think the relationship is going to be great just because they both respect each other at a high level.
All right, James Jones, Thursday Night Football returns on Fox, the NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video this year. Kickoff week 4, Eagles-Packers. Boy, that'll be a good game. NFL Network exclusively carries Thursday Night Football games weeks 2 and 3. James Jones, we love having you. I watch all the time on NFL Network. You're crushing it.
Appreciate it, my man.
You're crushing it.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joel Klatt, the voice of college football at FS1.
Hey, hey.
Look at you. Are you ready for me?
Oh, man, I cannot wait. All summer I've been waiting for this. 10 minutes are wrong.
Okay, let's get the NFL thing out of the way. Let me guess. You're one of these media people. You are just outraged by how Andrew Luck was treated.
100% I'm outraged by it. The Indianapolis fans are a disgrace.
Oh, that's gosh.
Why? I'm sorry. Wait, you're defending the fans for booing a guy?
4 Bud Lights in, fourth quarter preseason game, jarring sudden news.
Listen, 4 Bud Lights in doesn't give you an excuse to do anything. Everybody's like, oh, don't worry, honey, I was drunk. Ah, it still happened. No. I think that it was a total disgrace. First of all, I think this entire reaction is born out of jealousy and resentment.
Oh, Lord.
And it fuels an entitlement that I think is epidemic of our culture. And it's like, what does Andrew Luck owe the guy in the third deck? Nothing. All right. He already paid the ultimate athletic price, which was his body. His body is finished. He cannot play anymore. He cannot play. There's a standard by which you've got to play and mentally prepare and be in. You got to be all in to do it at the level that Andrew Luck wants to do it at, and he cannot do that anymore, so he's going to step away. And I also thought it was selfless of him. He's stepping away from money. He could have gone through the motions. Hey, guy in the third deck, on your fourth beer, as you like to say. You want Andrew Luck to just go through the motions and take your money for the next 3 years and not be competitive and sit out and not play hard and just take a paycheck? Well, of course not.
You're asking for a lot of contextualization in the moment for a human being. You never had a temper tantrum in your life or threw a rosin bag.
You want everyone to be kids. You want dessert first.
Yeah.
You desperately want to be a child. react like a child.
I got Dr. Lore over here. All right, let's get into college football.
Let's do it.
I tell you what team you like. You like Texas because I think you like their quarterback because he reminds me of you in college. Not a ton of talent, but a ton of heart.
That's a good line. And you know what? He's got an immense amount of talent, way more than I had.
I like him. Sam Ellinger.
I like Sam Ellinger a lot. I think Sam Ellinger is the best value in the Heisman odds by far. He's all the way down there, like 25-1, not getting much love whatsoever. And yet, when you look at Power 5 football since the year 2000, there's only been five players that have thrown for 25 touchdown passes and run for 15 touchdowns.
He's got a Tebow quality. He's incredibly likable, and
yes,
the players,
and he's an alpha,
and they feed off him. He's very Tebow-esque to me.
He very much is. By the way, Tim Tebow is one of those guys that threw for 25 and ran for 15. The other guys are guys like Marcus Mariota, Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, and Lamar Jackson. They all won Heisman trophies. This guy is the reason they won 10 games. He only turned the ball over six times. He had his biggest games in big moments. Ask Georgia how physical, how tough, and how quality of a leader Sam Ellinger is. I really like Sam Ellinger. Yeah. I like Texas. I think they're a coin flip with Oklahoma to win the Big 12.
Yeah, I like him. I don't know. I've always liked Texas football, even when I was a kid. Even, I like the uniforms.
I think it's the unis.
I love the unis. My favorite uni in college football. I don't even know why.
I still get nightmares, kind of, from the uniform. Quick story about Texas. Okay, so if you don't know, you can Google it and YouTube it.
Yeah.
My last play of my college career was against Texas. They beat us 70-3, Vince Young's national championship year in the Big 12 championship game. They put me in the hospital. That was my last play.
Yeah.
The first thing I remember, I don't remember the game, Colin. You know what I remember? I woke up in like a Texas Memorial Hospital in Houston, a University of Texas Memorial Hospital, and the doctor had the Longhorn stitched in his coat. And I was like, no, they're coming after me. What is happening? And I freaked out.
You know what I remember? You had about eight guys wide open, and you missed all of them that game.
Oh, here it is. Way to go. And bam, lights out.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, right on the chin.
Pop.
Boom.
All right, let's shift to this. Harbaugh. You and I have defended Harbaugh.
We have.
Okay, but this is his best group of receivers.
Yeah.
This is his best O-line.
Yeah.
Shea Patterson, year two.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer's out of the conference. I'm done with excuses. Wisconsin doesn't have their quarterback right, although I love their O-line and the running back. Michigan's got to win the Big Ten now, right?
I agree. And it's actually why I've put them ahead of Ohio State, at least in my poll. Because, and you have to contextualize this a little bit even further. It's not just that Urban is gone. This is the first time that we've seen this in college football history. A team and a program lose a guy that won 90% of his games at the school and a first-round draft choice at quarterback in Dwayne Haskins and a defensive coordinator. And, by the way, just to throw on top of that, Ohio State has lost the most first-round defensive players of the last 4 years in college football.
Wow.
So if Michigan does not beat Ohio State this year,
no excuses.
There's no more excuses. Because everything you said about Michigan is correct. This is their best offensive line that he's had. They've got the best core of wide receivers, I think, in the conference. Shea Patterson now has an offensive coordinator in Josh Gattis that suits him more.
Two years now starting.
And you still have Don Brown as your defensive coordinator.
Great.
There are no excuses for Michigan. They have to win the Big Ten and compete for a playoff spot this year, or it's going to get messy in Ann Arbor.
When I look at Clemson and Alabama, I put them here. Even Georgia, who everybody loves. There's only two teams among the ACC and the SEC who have winning records in the last 3 years against top 25 teams. Clemson's is great. Bama's is great. Georgia's only 500.
Yeah.
So I don't put Georgia in that class. I do think they probably have the third best personnel in the country.
Sure.
Is there a team? Let's take Alabama out. Let's take Georgia out. Because the three in the country we all agree with.
It's Georgia. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the third one.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. So pass that.
Throw me a team like, everybody's on LSU.
I'm not as big on LSU because they're in the same division as Alabama. You're not even the best team in your division, right? So to me, you've got to have a conference championship caliber team in order to compete for a playoff spot. And then you've also got to be balanced enough, not only across your team, but your coaching staff in order to win. Colin, I'm going to say Texas.
I think I agree with you.
And here's the reason. Because Texas, we saw physically, can go up and stand toe-to-toe with the likes of a Georgia.
Yes.
And physically beat them up. Remember now, Georgia had run for over 300 yards in five straight games leading into the SEC championship game last year. Then they ran for over 100 against Alabama. And Colin, guess how many they ran for against Texas? 72 yards in the Sugar Bowl.
That was a physical beatdown for first three quarters, at least.
Meanwhile, Texas is running for 178 yards.
Yeah.
And so, and there's also this way, people in Oklahoma are going to get upset with this, but there's also coach makeup. Think about this, just real quick. When we talk about coaches that win national championships, they generally don't call their own plays. If you look back all the way back to 1990, there's only two guys that won a national championship while calling their own offensive plays. That's Jimbo Fisher at Florida State and Steve Spurrier at Florida. Everybody else is a CEO. So while I love Lincoln Riley, I really do. I think he's the best coach that has not won a national championship. I don't think it's the right blueprint to win one.
No,
Whereas Tom Herman, I think, fits that blueprint. And again, Oklahoma fans can be mad all they want. They've had great teams, historic level quarterback play, and they haven't gotten it done in large part because they've been too offensive centric.
All right. Who are the top five quarterbacks for you in college football this year?
Trevor
Lawrence, Clemson. That's a no-brainer.
Tua.
I'm not as high as everybody else is.
I like Justin Herbert a lot at
Oregon. I think he's a good talent. Let's see him win some games away from Autzen Stadium.
I like Sam Ellinger a lot.
He's not a pro, but he's good, yeah.
Yeah, but remember now, you can be a great college player not a great pro prospect.
Jake Fromm's good.
And then I like Jake Fromm from Georgia. Jake Fromm plays really well in big moments. He played great against Bama in the SEC championship game last year.
I like him.
And the reason I'm flat in love with Trevor Lawrence is because you talk about playing best when your best is needed. When you look at those guys, and in particular in a comparison to Tua, when Trevor Lawrence faced a top 30 defense last year, Colin, his numbers went through the roof. His completion percentage went way up. His touchdown-to-interception ratio was better. 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and his rating went way up. When facing better defenses. Meanwhile, if you did the same experiment with Tua in his 4 games against top 30 defenses versus the other competition, his completion percentage went way down. He went 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Wow.
And his rating went way down. So you can make the argument that Trevor is a better big game player than Tua, even though we saw Tua in the national championship game a couple of years ago beat Georgia in that comeback fashion.
Yeah, you know, Alabama quarterbacks tend to play within a system structure.
I'll tell you, though, he's got Jerry Jeudy. Oh, yeah, Jerry Jeudy is good.
Yeah, he's fine. I like Lawrence. I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy.
You know,
I saw him in high school.
Because
one of us on the weekends puts a little extra time in.
I'm sorry, one of us?
Yeah, I went down and saw him play in San Diego at a camp. That's when you're committed to your profession. Yeah.
You were out there
sailing in the sea. I was out there looking at high school
sailing
football
in the sea,
tape.
Where else do you sail, first of all? second of all, while I'm in here digging into these quarterbacks in college football, you're out there riding the horse like Zorro of Baker Mayfield's not going to do anything with the Browns. You're still on that one.
Nope. I gave that one up. Not even interested. May not talk about it until December. All right. I want to move to something because I see this thing right here, and this is a bunch of hooey. So I always let you have an upset pick of the week. Okay. Give me your two. One of them's ridiculous. Go ahead.
Why is it ridiculous?
Go ahead.
I pick upsets.
Out there.
I like Oregon over Auburn.
Oh, God. That's not even an upset. It's a
check Vegas. Yes, it is.
3.5.
Check Fox bet.
Okay.
A little company plug there.
It's not Oregon beating Auburn with the better O-line and the better NFL quarterback. That's not an upset. That's just a game. Oh, let me give you an upset. Hey, get that bell ready. Here's one for you.
Based on what? Collins odds?
Hey, no.
Hey, based on my take, that's not an upset. I'm telling you it is.
Oregon plus 3.5, Fox Sports bet, the new company here. That's not an upset. How about a new rule?
That is an upset.
I got to create new legislation to keep you on the up and up.
I've got to take games with over a 5-point spread, 6-point spread?
Well, that would be an upset.
Let's see, a 6-point spread.
Okay, I'll give you one right now.
Go ahead.
Do you have that bell thing? Okay.
The bell thingy.
Northwestern goes to Palo Alto and beats Stanford.
You stole that from me.
Hey, doesn't matter where
from
I get my information.
Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable.
What?
Behind the curtains here, Colin and I had a conversation 30 minutes before a show, and I was like, I tell you the game I really like. I think Northwestern goes in and beats Stanford. He goes, no, really? Do you really think that? And now you're using it against me this on the bell segment?
Hey, time out.
Prove it.
Thank you, Joey.
Wait. No, I said prove it.
Kidding. Prove it. That's a good one.
Don't the cell phones now just record all of our conversations?
Doesn't matter where I get my upset. If I stole it from you, it's still usable.
You are a thief and a liar and a thief.
No, there's an old saying. I steal from everybody. It's called research. You steal from one guy, it's called a thief. I steal from everybody. It's just research. If I was just stealing from you, I'd be a thief.
That's big J journalism right there. You're a travesty and a sham
and
a mockery.
You're a college expert. Where's a better place to get your information?
He's a travesty, sham, mockery.
All right, Joel Klatt, game. It's a fight in Lane Kiffin's against Ohio State. Noon.
Big noon Saturday. Debut at big noon Saturday. Here we go.
And 11 a.m. is Urban and Reggie and Brady and Matt and Rob Stone and everything.